it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we're just playing to win the game. Certainly, if opportunity presents itself from a matchup standpoint, we're open to it, but we don't feel obligated for participation. This is not Little League football. We're going to assimilate a group that we think is capable of winning certain matchups in certain moments. And certainly, Cole has had a good process. We're happy to have him back from injury, and I'm sure he'll get an opportunity in the not-too-distant future.
One of three nominees for our PM team, Tomlinism of the Week. This is not Little League football. Mike Tomlin explaining why Cole Holcomb got no reps on defense at linebacker, while Peyton Wilson was having a horrendous day. One former Steeler player who played on Super Bowl teams told me it was one of the worst games he's ever seen by a Steelers linebacker, and that he was embarrassed for Peyton Wilson watching that game. I'm not sure what Peyton Wilson's PFF grade was for Sunday. Other nominees for Tomlinism of the Week.
I'm certainly not a ball treatment specialist.
And
can't say enough about Walker and his pad level.
Loving the pad level of one of Seattle's.
I think he also said that he loved Walker's running posture.
Well, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. $2.50, that is. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We will get into the Tyreek Hill Steelers rumors later on this hour, but we found this out live on the air yesterday. That Pro Football Focus, and we've had a great relationships with guys like Steve Palazzolo over the years, came out and gave Aaron Rodgers one of the worst grades by a quarterback in week one. 28th out of 33 quarterbacks who played. Chris and I started the show by saying that Aaron Rodgers was the reason why the Steelers won the game. We thought Aaron Rodgers was the Steelers' best player on Sunday. Meanwhile, PFF gave him numerically the same exact grade as Broderick Jones in Sunday's game. John Costco from Pro Football Focus does the quarterback grades, or is part of the team that does, and he joins us right now. John, explain to us why Aaron Rodgers got one of the lowest QB grades on Sunday.
Yeah, he was 26th, not 28th.
I'm getting information from Mulsey.
John, I was just looking at it today where it had McCarthy and Williams both above him. That's why I put 28th. And then I know Zach Wilson technically got in there and was below him as well in nine scintillating throws or whatever.
Well, I take it all back. He's 26. We're all good then, John. We don't have a beef anymore.
Yep. All right. See you later.
Exactly. We're good, right? I think it's good to understand how the grades come about, right? So Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't say had a bad game, and you can have a bad single grade game without having a bad game. And the way that happens is basically what you're asked to do in the offense that you're running. I think that Rodgers, you know, made all the throws but most of the throws that he wanted to make. One of the things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet is a dropped interception that he had late in the fourth quarter when they were down by 2 points on their game-winning drive. He was attempting to throw the ball away. It went into the hands of the Jets defender, and he just dropped it. You know, that very well could have ended the game for the Steelers right there. And so that is heavily downgraded, and it doesn't show up in the stat. But you look at what he was able to do, you know, from what they were asking him to do. He had 9 screen passes. They were all caught, went for about 50 yards. And then without the screen passes in there, he was 13 for 21 for 196 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's not bad by any means, but it's obviously, you know, he's asked to they throw a lot of screen passes, and when you're asked to do that, and you maybe don't throw anything big down the field and have any sort of like a lot of throws that are, you know, beating the second level of the defense, your grade isn't just going to be all that great.
Well, so, and that's fine. Like, I do somewhat get where you're coming from. Like, I did not expect necessarily one of the touchdown passes was pretty much a handoff to Jonnu Smith. So if you guys said, look, it was not quite Josh Allen-esque or, Justin Herbert-esque, I would say, okay, I can understand that to some degree. Where you guys lose me is, how could Cam Ward, who completed 12 of 28 for 112 yards and literally sacked his team out of field goal range in the fourth quarter, how in the world could he have had a better game than Aaron Rodgers, John? I can't reconcile that.
So it's again, I think it's more understanding how the grades come about, right? Like if Cam Ward makes a dime throw down the field, that's, you know, we would consider a big time throw. Maybe he gets a plus one or a plus 1.5. I don't think he had any 1.5s, but just as an example, but it gets dropped. Obviously that goes down on a stat sheet as an incompletion, but it goes on to his wide receiver. We saw it had happened a couple of times in that game where he made a couple of really good throws, but they were not completed. In terms of the Aaron Rodgers, if you look at actually each one of his touchdowns, you know, he had the screen pass that went for a touchdown. The touchdown he had, first touchdown he had over the middle of the field, the Jets busted at coverage and it was a walk-in touchdown. The second touchdown he had was, like you said, to Jonnu Smith, which is just a walk-in for him as well. And then even the third touchdown that was down the field beginning the fourth quarter, a couple minutes later after the Jonnu Smith one, was another busted type of coverage where 21 bit hard on the play action. He was wide open in the end zone. So,
shouldn't he get credit for the play action fake to get the guy to bite in?
So, I mean, that play action fake is not, we're not grading how well he does a play action fake. He stuck the hand out there. It's on the cornerback more so to read the offensive line. Because if you're reading your keys properly as a defensive back, you shouldn't be coming screaming up when the high hats are for the offensive line. So from a play action standpoint, like every quarterback in the NFL is able to make a play action fake. And, you know, maybe Rodgers is slightly better than the rest of the league at doing that. And I think there is something to him doing that, but he gets credit for the making the throw and finding the open receiver. He's just not going to get as big of a grade in that type of a play as you would say he's throwing it into tight, you know, beating tight coverage and layering it over a couple of defenders. So he gets a positive grade per play. It's just not a big time throw type of throw in that case.
John, I have
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I have a couple like quick hitter questions before like a more expansive one. Is it fair? Would it be fair for me to say that if you were like handing out or credit for how the Steelers passing game performed, you'd almost say credit goes to Arthur Smith for drawing up some good stuff, and then almost discredit goes to the Jets secondary then for biting on fakes, things like that. Is that fair? Just kind of yes or no thought?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think as a quick hitter, yes. I think also Rodgers executed the game plan really well. The throws that he had downfield, a couple of them were really easy. He missed a couple downfield. And then the way we grade, you know, if you're throwing short of the sticks, generally giving, like we kind of tell, say that quarterbacks, if they're throwing short of the stick, are expected to make those throws or be at least accurate with those throws. He was accurate with them. They generally don't get a big positive grade, which is part of the problem there.
So. John, can a big time throw be like a fairly short throw? Like if he zips one in down the middle to Freiermuth early in the game to convert a 3rd and 10, for example, and I know like DK Metcalf had just converted or later converted one on a catch and run, but he rips one into a tight window where maybe it's 9 yards beyond the sticks. Can that even by PFF grading be a big time throw, or is it not a deep enough throw into the second level of the defense to qualify?
It can. So I can't remember off the top of my head that specific play. So when it comes to a big time throw, multiple factors come into play. You know, how good is the coverage? How deep is the throw? And how difficult kind of that throw is. Okay. If the coverage, you know, kind of busts it and it's wide open, sure, it's harder to get that big time of a throw, right? If it's threading a needle and it's, you know, you're saying, like you said, it's 9 yards past the stick, generally that would get a big time throw if it's tight coverage and you're that far down, that far past the sticks.
Question about the dropped interception. I mean, we all saw the play, but this is something I'm legit curious about. And for the record, I am a premium stats subscriber. So you were talking to a largely friendly voice here, and we do use the PFF stats. So he's getting pressured on that ball that he throws away. Like, he's under pretty heavy duress. Does that not get the quarterback, I don't want to say absolution here, but does that not help the quarterback or lessen the negative grade if he's very much under duress on a throw that ends up being a turnover-worthy play? Like, as opposed to, say, Cam Ward drops back and throws it just right at a guy and the guy drops it for an interception instead of taking it to the house, for example.
Yeah, so like,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the J.J. McCarthy pick six last night, right? That gets the absolute worst grade that we can give to a quarterback because he went right to the cornerback and the guy just basically walked it in for a touchdown. That, regardless if he would have caught that or dropped it, he gets that same grade. So that's the lowest of the low that you can get for a grade from a quarterback. Rodgers, on the other hand, is not going to get that severe of a downgrade on that type of play. Partially, he is under pressure. There is a decision that he can make to throw this more out of bounds and not make it leave it into the field of play. Part of it is, he's actively trying to, I don't know if he was actively trying to throw it to that receiver that was behind him, or he was trying to throw it away, but he could make a better attempt to throw it away and keep it safe. So I think what you have to kind of juggle there is that pressure affecting him so much that he couldn't throw it away, or was it just affecting him a little bit where he still had an opportunity to throw it away safely versus leaving it into the field of play right to a defender?
John Costco with us here from Pro Football Focus. They had Aaron Rodgers rated out as the 26th best quarterback in week one, even though Aaron Rodgers led the Steelers to victory with a horrible offensive line in front of them and absolutely no run game to speak of. John, you guys think Bryce Young played better than Aaron Rodgers, huh?
So, again, I would say, like, individual game grades are it always depends on, like, what you're asked to do in that game and what happens with the defense, right? So
by that logic, though, using that rubric, he did, because he did what he was asked to better than Rodgers did, no?
Yeah, right. I would say so part of it is did this player make turnover-worthy throws? Was his team also on top of making their catches downfield as well? So, like, there's an aspect of, is he taking bad sacks versus not? I don't think Rodgers took any sacks that were really his fault. I think it was all four of those that he took were his offensive line.
Yes.
I'd have to watch Young's game to see on an individual basis what he was doing that maybe was good versus bad. Obviously wasn't a good outcome for the Carolina Panthers, but you don't, like, when you grade an individual great player on every single play, you know, is he executing the throw that he's being asked to make? And if it's yes, generally, you then grade it based off of that. And if it's no and he's going outside of structure, then you kind of
so have a if I'm going to put this in kind of layman's terms, the throws that were there for Rodgers Sunday against the Jets were basically so easy because guys were open and the Jets secondary, either the play call was good enough or the defense was bad enough, that the vast majority, if not all, NFL quarterbacks would have had similar success, if not better success, in that offense. Is that fair?
Yes, that is fair. That is fair. Now, it doesn't take into consideration Rodgers maybe adjusting the play at the line of scrimmage and checking into that play, because we don't know. We're not trying to predict, the audibles that are going on out there, right?
Yes.
Sometimes they're dummy calls. You just never know, right?
Yes.
I would say that Rodgers probably gets you into better plays on a more consistent basis than Bryce Young does, or Caleb Williams, or a Michael Penix, et cetera, right? I would have to imagine that Aaron Rodgers is much better at doing that and getting you into the right play.
But if the Steelers had Spencer Rattler, let's say, at quarterback, it would not have been unreasonable to expect him to have 244 yards and four touchdowns as well.
If they're having the same exact play is correct, I would think you would make you'd have a different kind of game plan with Spencer Rattler sure. than you would with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Right. So like Rodgers, you knew Rodgers could execute this game plan and he did, right? I would say he did. He had one, you know, just bad throw, he missed a handful of throws that were downfield.
Did you guys have him for any good throws?
We did not have him.
No good throws.
Any big time throws. We didn't have him for any big time throws. He got a lot of positive throws, he was able to complete downfield, but we didn't have him as a specific big time throw. And the one that you're talking about, the Freiermuth, I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'll have to go back and look.
How about back shoulder to Calvin Austin inside the 10 yard line? No.
So that one, he left. I remember this one specifically because he left it low and Calvin Austin had to reach over the helmet of the defender that was right there. And so if he doesn't do that, that's bouncing off the back.
So
of the
better
helmet of
that catch
guy.
Than throw there.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for letting me come on.
There
and
you go.
Try to explain.
John Costco from PFF.
Do you get the sense that John, the little laugh at the end there, does he get a call or two every single Tuesday in an NFL city?
And Sean, he's out of his mind.
And the expressed purpose is, what the hell is this grade?
He just said, you know, I could have put it this way. If you put Kenny Pickett in that offense Sunday, it would have been reasonable to expect him to throw four touchdowns against that defense.
Here's my problem with the grade. You are grading it saying the Rattler question's a great one. If you drop him in, you can expect that he would have had 244 and four, and he had to point out, well, the game plan's different, and maybe he wouldn't check into certain plays. When you evaluate it based on, okay, what was the play, and did he execute a throw, that doesn't give Rodgers any of the credit for perhaps checking into that play, executing, you know, getting to a
so
play that's going to work.
So he gets no credit
for
his
example,
brain.
Here is something I would give Rodgers a ton of credit for. Maybe we're just scarred here because we've watched some really bad quarterback play. The play Skoranek scored on and the play Calvin Austin caught for a touchdown are the exact same play. The first time, they didn't go with Skoranek underneath, Rodgers hit him. The second time, they were going with the underneath man in that route, and they left Austin alone. Because if you look at the Skoranek touchdown, it's the exact same play, and he knew where to go with the ball each time.
So,
to me,
you're right.
That is a big high-level quarterbacking
so
play.
So to paraphrase there, he basically said the two biggest reasons why Rodgers had a good afternoon was Arthur Smith's play calling, the Jets having a sucky pass defense. Then the third reason, there's a huge drop-off. And then you get to Aaron Rodgers, right? Arthur
Correct.
Smith, Jets suck, drop off Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I didn't think that the back shoulder to Austin was the best back shoulder ball I've ever seen, and Rodgers is a specialist at it, so fine. Like, I'll live with that. But, like, man, I didn't want to go further down the rabbit hole because the YouTube comments here are a mix of, please don't do that to us again, and Malzi, why are you being so nice to this guy? but I would love to know if they have some sort of empirical, like analytical way to determine a big time throw. Because honestly, for a site that is very much crunch the data, and I do like it, and I honestly, it's worth the money that I spend on it just to have talking points for the show, Pony. Way too many of the big time throw designations or lack thereof are just like on vibes.
Did he say he made no good throws?
No big time throws. That is a graded metric by them.
Did
big
he say good
throws.
Or did he say big time?
Big time throws. Okay.
He said no big time throws. He had lots of positively graded throws. But like, there's a grading threshold where a throw ceases, Pony, to be good and elevates itself to big time.
Can listen to us on demand if you want to hear that interview back on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Can listen to Pop and Joe tomorrow to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com podcasting page. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. What do you know? The high here today is Broderick Jones, 77. All right, we're a few minutes away from the big Steelers trade report. Is Tyreek Hill coming to the Steelers? We'll break that down with new information. But first, I'm going to tell you guys about FanDuel, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official sportsbook betting partner of the NFL. The lines are out for week two. Off the top of your head, what do you think the line is for Steelers-Seahawks? I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it. 1, Mississippi. 2, Mississippi. 3, Mississippi. 4, Mississippi. 5, Mississippi. Time's up. It's only a 2.5-point spread. Steelers 1-0, Seahawks 0-1, going to be a 10 a.m. start for the Seahawks. And the Steelers are not even a field goal favorite. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get 300 in bonus bets. If you win on FanDuel, you'll unlock 300 bucks in bonus bets. FanDuel.com/Andrew to download the FanDuel app today. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now a double bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.FanDuel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.